Welcome to Creative Disturbance. This is the Art and Earth Science Channel. My name is Susan Erickson. I'm in Boulder, Colorado, and I'm talking with Dr. Kathy Ellens in Austin, Texas. So, Kathy, I think the purpose of this is to introduce this channel, Art and Earth Science, to the public, and we've been working on this for a while. So why don't we go through what we think is some of the past history of art and geoscience, earth science, and maybe what's going on today and what we see as the future directions. So do you want to just start off and maybe tell the audience about your interest in art and geoscience?
Well, thank you, Susan. I started out in college as an art major and actually got a joint degree in fine art and geology. I decided that I'd better go on in the geosciences so that I could make a good living. I wasn't sure I would be able to make it as an artist, but nonetheless, it's been a very important influence in my life, and I continue to enjoy creative pursuits, including painting as an adult.
And I know you're teaching a course, and now we'll get back to with curriculum. I can get this more. I never took art until my 40s, so it's been a late interest of mine. So we've talked about maybe mentioning the past. So what's your interest in the history of art and geoscience?
Well, there's a very rich history of art and geoscience, particularly in the time, during the time when geoscience was really, or I should say geology, was just beginning to be recognized as a discipline. And it was, of course, before the period of photography. We're talking, I would say, 17th century. And it was very important to be able to document the things that the early geologists were seeing in the landscape. And so they often worked collaboratively with artists, which, of course, is true of all of the natural sciences. But it was particularly helpful in documenting some of the different processes that early geologists felt they weren't as adept at conveying, either in words or with their own sketches.
And I think people are still doing that today. I heard, in fact, this week at the Geological Society of America, I met a geomorphologist, and he was talking about how he's been mining some data, actually, from old paintings to get data, looking at what people saw, like particularly in the Hudson Valley. Some of the great paintings have history about what the geomorphology of the landscape looked like then, and they can compare it to what things are today. So I think that's pretty interesting.
Well, it's also interesting that you mentioned the Hudson River School, because those painters, although they began in that area, actually went all over the world to document the landscapes. And one of them, in particular, Thomas Moran, is well known in the field of geology because, or historical geology, I should say, because he was hired by the Frederick Hayden, who was the head of the U.S. Geological Survey in 1871, and invited to go west to document not just the landscapes, but also the geology of the West. And so the Smithsonian has a wonderful collection of his sketches, and they are geologic sketches, just exactly like what you would expect to see in a modern field book. And of course, his paintings of Yellowstone then were instrumental in allowing Yellowstone to become one of our great national parks.
And today, a lot of our discussions in geoscience education and making geology relevant is how do we put geology into the mix of policy for governments to help protect people or make policies for natural hazards or whatever. So it's interesting that art was actually part of the policy making of the U.S. government 2 centuries ago.
That's correct. But while we're on the topic of national parks, I would like to mention another artist who is a 20th century, early 20th century Japanese-American artist by the name of Chiyoro Obato, who came as an immigrant to this country, but became so absolutely fascinated by Yosemite that he spent a lot of his time making wonderful paintings and Japanese woodblocks of Yosemite. And again, these were instrumental in galvanizing public support for Yosemite becoming a national park, and again, as you say, influencing policy in Washington, D.C. So I think we're very fortunate that we've had painters in our history, in the history of this country, who've been so enthralled with I'm going to say geology here, because really it's kind of an understand the landscape of these beautiful places owe their existence to the geology, and so they really are at the foundation of the geological sciences in the U.S.
And so I think that's sort of our historical basis for some of this, but people today still are doing landscapes. Of course, some of our great geologists are painting, and then there's people communicating using science. But let's talk a little bit about the technology, adding of technology. Painting's a very traditional field, and today we've got all the wonderful film and gaming aspects of it. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
I think that several things have happened at the same time. One is that artists today are experimenting with all sorts of new technologies. And so we not only have sort of the more classically trained artists, but we also have data artists and visualization experts who are using modern technology. And at the same time, our science has evolved to the point where we're dealing with very, very large, huge data sets that geoscientists try to examine. And so what we're beginning to see is a much much more collaboration between artists and geoscientists who are coming together to try to understand the geoscience data. Artists are particularly helpful because sometimes with their eye and with their new approaches, they can discern patterns in the data that the geoscientist doesn't necessarily see immediately. But I believe that this sort of this collaboration is really a catalyst for moving our field forward and helping geoscientists to investigate problems that they probably hadn't considered before, or develop hypotheses that are new and advance the science.
I think that's really important because it's helping people understand in a scientific sense, how to make sense out of the data and vast amounts of data, as you mentioned. I think that we're also compelled these days to communicate our science to various audiences. And once we understand what we're trying to do, I see that so many people in the art and science collaborations are actually using art, whether it's film or paintings, exhibits, games, to communicate to various audiences, whether it's students or the general public. And I think what we saw, I know you had a session at the Geological Society of America yesterday, that climate change is one of the big topics that people are doing collaboration in because it's such an important topic. Biology projects I know that are being done are in areas of controversy. And I think the same thing with geology. Sometimes it's controversial subjects are more palatable or taken by the public a little easier if they're very beautiful visual ways to communicate the science. And so I see this as a great present today way that we're using the art science collaborations. Is there anything else you'd like to add to the communication part of this? I think we've run out of time, Kathy. So I just wanted to thank you for this time. And your input to this podcast. To learn more about Kathy Ellens, folks, visit the Creative Disturbance site at creativedisturbance.net. Thanks very much, Kathy.
Thank you.